One thing we've been asking all the coaches that have been coming onto the show is a little bit about their path to the National Hockey League. And I don't think anyone has as circuitous a route to the NHL as you, you know, somebody who practiced law, public defender for over a decade. Give us the story. Give us the Coles notes on how you transitioned from a lawyer to NHL coach. How did you make that move to coaching?
Well, first of all, hold on. I'm looking up circuitous. But it's definitely been a different ride, and I appreciate like everything I've done in my life, whether it was being in college or going to law school, and what kind of gets lost in there a little bit is I actually spent a couple years and working on Water Street for Prudential Securities and Wall Street in New York City for a while. So I lived a lot of different lives, and it's funny how it all kind of pushed me to where I am today. But a lot of that was just, that my upbringing, my love for hockey, and when you really follow your passion, it kind of leads you to what I think you ultimately were destined to be growing up. But so many different things, when you're done playing, and I was done like right when I went to college because I went and played college lacrosse, the passion for the game never left. And you're out there trying to survive in a big, vast world out there. But everything kept drawing me back to hockey. And even the fact that I went to law school because I wanted to get into the agent business. And then I got, I had a brief stint with the guys at Newport Sports, who were all phenomenal, which ultimately, years later, ended up getting me the interview with Tampa was because Julian Brisebois and Steve Yzerman were negotiating a contract with Newport Sports. And one of the agents had pointed him into my direction years after, I'd spent time with them. So it's just little things like that, like right place, right time. But the whole process was, just kind of sticking with it and trying to find my way in the door into hockey without, having played in the league. And the one thing is I never envisioned once that I was going to be in the NHL. I just loved being a coach, and I loved, that whole feeling. I know it sounds a little corny, and, you go into with a group of guys, you got 23 guys, and then, the whole goal is to mold them into one. And when a team, that satisfaction, and every coach will tell this to you, when you've got a team, when comes the spring, the team is coaching itself, and it's basically just running itself. And you've got a chance to win when you got those type of teams. And it's just every year is a challenge to try and make that happen. And sometimes, I've been extremely fortunate. It's happened, a few times for some of the teams I've had. And sometimes it doesn't. And, the greatest thing about it is you get another crack at it the next year. And just the whole ride's been phenomenal. The people I've met. And here you are in April 2020, and you're talking on a radio show about a sport you love. So it's been great.
Why don't you take us back to the Texarkana Bandits in the NAHL? Let's spend like 3 to 4 minutes getting you up to the American League.
Ooh, so this is where I'd been practicing law, and I'd been it was kind of like 60 hours a week. I'd kind of started my own practice, and I was grinding. And I was actually, in part trying to do stuff, and recruit guys in the agent business and stuff like that. But I'd been coaching, a high school team, and I ended up coaching a junior B team, and I ended up coaching the Honey Baked Midget Majors. And I was doing all this, kind of pro bono, but I was loving it. And so I knew there was a time when basically all of a sudden practicing a lot, 20 hours a week, and I'm coaching 60 hours a week for nothing. I'm like, Jesus, I got to find a way if I can get paid for this. But anyway, I ran into Kelly Chase, who I'd known for a long time, and he was getting involved in junior hockey at the time. And him and, Brett Hall was involved, and a guy named Mike Brooks and Tony Sansos, a group from St. Louis. And they were asking my advice on things when I was coaching pretty prominent team, Honey Baked in Detroit. And so when ultimately it all came together, they said, we're basically going to start a team in the North American Hockey League. We want you to run it. So I said, okay, I'm 5 years into my law practice here. I don't want to insult anybody. I'm not going to do this for nothing, but I'd also like to GM it and run the whole office and everything. I thought it would be a great experience thing. And they're like, perfect. They're either going to go to Traverse City, Michigan, or Texarkana, Texas. I'm like, okay. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm already in Detroit. Traverse City will be awesome, beautiful city. Know nothing about Texarkana, but highly doubt this is going to happen. And sure enough, it happened with Texarkana. And it was a tough thing to do to, you know, I sat there and I was in my mid-30s. And I'm like, you know what? I'm still young enough. I've got the law degree in my back pocket. If this doesn't work out, but I'm going to make a run for it. And so I packed up everything, closed it, and I went to Texarkana. And it was not without some difficulties. And I think one of the things that have grounded me or tried to ground me in the NHL is, you know, starting in Texarkana, because it was a town we played out of a four-state fairgrounds, and they'd only have the ice in there from maybe November to February. It was a tin roof. Every time it rained, like if it rained hard, the electricity went out and we'd have to stop the game. Like it was little things like that would happen. But I learned how to paint ice. I learned how to put the ice down and spray it with the hose and put the boards up. And that, those are the things you did. And when the ice would go out in February, we would put all the guys in a Suburban. I would drive the Suburban, and we'd put a trailer on the back with all the equipment. And then we had an 18-passenger van that one of my assistants would drive. And, well, I only had one assistant, and he was like our equipment guy, assistant coach, skate sharpener. And we would drive, 120 miles to Little Rock, Arkansas, just to practice on a three-quarter ice rink.
Wow.
And then we'd turn around and come back.
Wow.
And so, you know, we were fortunate that if Shreveport Mudbugs were still playing, we'd get to use their rink, which was, you know, about 75 miles shorter. And that's how it was. And that's for 3 years we did that. It was a growing experience. It was a great experience. But it was after 3 years, it was we had some really good teams. And that was, you know, one of those years, you know, we lost to Ben Bishop. He was playing in Dallas. But it was tough because there was a little bit of a disadvantage because we just didn't have an ice rink to practice in. And eventually, Chaser and Holly and Brooksy, they moved the team to St. Louis. And as soon as they did that, everything changed for us. And, you know, there was a moment there I was thinking how much more I wanted to do this because it was a grind in Texarkana. But when we went to St. Louis and they gave us all the facilities and all the resources, it was our team took off. We won a couple championships. And all of a sudden now when you win, teams, you know, people start to take notice in organizations. And, again, out of the timing is everything book, you know, the Green Bay Gamblers were struggling at the time, and they were looking for a coach, and we just happened to be hot at the time. And a guy named Brendan Bruss came and interviewed me, and we just hit it off right away and ended up going to Green Bay. And, you know, 2 years we were very fortunate to spin that team around. And then that was it. And then, you know, fast forward to 2 years later, we won the championship in Green Bay. And ironically, the 2 years I was there, it was going head-to-head with Jeff Blashill, who's now the coach of the Wings. And the first year was in the USHL. Blash knocked us out in the second round, and he ended up winning the championship, the USHL. And the next year, we knocked Blash out in the second round, and we ended up winning it. So it's funny, we got our names on the trophy in consecutive years. And, you know, fast forward to the summer we won. And as I said earlier, an agent had talked to Julian Brisebois and picked up my name. And I'm not sure Julian definitely didn't know me and wasn't as familiar with the USHL. And he called me late in August or mid-August. And I thought, there's no way. But didn't want to burn any bridges, so I went on the interview. And lo and behold, I got it. So I had to make the decision in mid-August. Yeah, to go to pro hockey. And ended up, we just had twin daughters, too, and like my wife was shaking her head a little bit, or our son, I'm sorry. We had our daughters in St. Louis, our son in Green Bay, and so we had three kids under the age of two, and here we are moving to Norfolk, Virginia. And anyway, that's how we got there, and you know, the rest is kind of history after that. But it's been one heck of a ride, and something that I hope is far from finished.
Well, I had first-hand experience with the Calder Cup team you won.
Yeah, that Calder Cup, Berkey, that was one of the – well, we've met each other before, but I wish you weren't on the call right now because it was one of the classiest moves had been moved. We'd just swept Toronto and in the Calder Cup. We had a really special team that year. And I remember we're celebrating, and then Steve Yzerman comes up to me on the ice, and he's like, "Hey, listen, Brian Burke's here. He'd like to, he's waiting down the exit here. He'd really like to congratulate." And I thought, oh, geez, like, you know, we just knocked their team out. And I came off the ice, and there was Berkey, and he said the kindest words to myself and the team for 30 seconds, shook a hand, looked me in the eye, and said, "Go get them and enjoy it." And I just thought that was a classy move. But it was, you know, the American League, I can't say enough about the development. It helped me so much in my path to the NHL. But, you know, a little shout-out to that 2012 team. It was a phenomenal group of guys and, you know, capped off by that Calder Cup championship in Toronto.
Yeah, that's John Cooper, head coach of the Tampa Bay Lightning. And, yes, titles in the AHL, the USHL, the NAHL. So you've won everywhere. I wish we had more time. We only have a few more minutes, but I did want to be remiss. We're on a Toronto radio station here. I just need to know, you guys at the pause, you're 8 points behind Boston, 11 points in front of Toronto. So it looked like an inevitable first-round matchup, potentially, against the Maple Leafs. How much were you and your coaching staff preparing for that first-round showdown with the Leafs?
Well, it's always in the back of your mind. We had a bunch of games back. Like, it's weird how the schedule's set up, but I think three of our last whatever games were against the Leafs. And so there was a little, you know, we kind of knew this was going to be prep time. You never want to look ahead. That's the last thing you want to do, is sit here and say, oh, which opponent would you rather play, or, you know, looking forward to the playoffs. But the way the mathematics kind of set, it was inevitable we were going to play them. I think every graphic had it like 80 to 90% chance of us playing them in the playoffs. So we were going to use, you know, especially these last few games to really do a lot of, you know, prep work for the Leafs. And I think a lot of the guys, it would have been different for us because it was a team we'd never played before in the playoffs. But in the end, it really, you ask any coach, it doesn't matter. You just want to get in. And for us, I think there was a little bit of, especially what happened to us the year before, we didn't care who we were going to play. We just wanted to get back and, try and turn the page from last year and make a, and start a new chapter this year. So regardless who we were playing, we were going to be excited to play. And then you factor in the fact that it's Toronto and just, you know, the history of hockey in Toronto and everything's based there. I think a lot of our players are from there, our captains from there. I think it would have been a lot of fun to just play in that environment. And like I said, I still think, can't sit here and say how things are going to work out. I'm on the positive side of things, thinking we are going to play again. But it should be a lot of fun, to make the playoffs, and if we do, to play the Leafs.
That would be a tremendous showdown. Two of the most offensively gifted teams in the league. It would be a lot of fun to see that matchup. John, I wish we had a bit more time because I know you have a lot more stories, and it was good to get a glimpse into your start. I can ask one real quick question before we let you go, because Berkey likes putting guys on the spot like this. I'll play his role for a minute. So you leave a successful law practice to basically be the coach slash ice fixer in the NHL. What kind of economic hit did you take there? Because I imagine you weren't making public defender money in the NAHL.
Well, it depends who you ask. So if you ask me, it was a massive hit. And if you ask Chaser, you know, he filled my wallet all the time. So I don't know. That's a really good question. But it was, you know, the one thing I say, when you follow your passion and you're doing something you truly love, you never look at a clock another day in your life. And that's how it was for me. And it's been a, like I said, phenomenal ride. And I thank everybody that's helped me along the way. And like I said, many more stories hopefully ahead.